This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 233 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. May the 4th be with you all. I am Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And, you know, Marcus, I had to throw that Star Wars reference in there. I had to, just because the episode falls on May 4th.
Well, interestingly enough, Jeff, that's the first time I've actually thought about that today or even
heard about.
I've been so busy with work. It's been crazy. And I haven't been on Twitter, nothing. So thank you. Thank you for wishing me a fourth. The fourth be with me.
No problem. It's kind of interesting, too, that, yeah, I haven't spent that much time on social media today, but I think it was the radio. I was listening to some radio broadcast today, and they happened to bring it up. Like, oh, yeah, May 4th. So, so I haven't seen too many jokes around with it, but yeah, it's a holiday nonetheless for all you Star Wars peeps out there.
Yes.
So we got an interesting show lined up. I'm going to pretty much give you a recap of my experience at WordCamp Chicago 2016, which took place this past weekend. But before we get to that, hey, we have a couple of new iTunes reviews that we have to read through.
Yeah, that's great. We greatly appreciate that. I'm sure it got us 10 more rankings higher in the iTunes charts. Who knows?
Perhaps. So the first review comes in from a person named J.W. Parkey, specifically around episode 221. Trying to think back as to which one that was.
I'll check. You go ahead and read.
Yeah, you go ahead and check. But he says, this episode is the only one that I have listened to multiple times. Thanks for all that you do for the WordPress community. I appreciate your hard work. So thank you very much for the compliments. And
that was Mika Epstein.
See, that would have been my first guest because we've had so much great feedback on that episode. So that's fantastic to know that to know that at least that episode you listened to more than once. But
and that was a long episode too.
Yeah, that was. That was about an hour and 45 minutes. Hmm. But some minutes well spent, according to many people who listen to that show. So thanks for the feedback. And we have another review. And who is this from, Marcus?
This is from RB Pat and says, WP Weekly is a must. 5 stars. If you have any interest in WordPress at all, this podcast is a must. I make my living with WordPress and wouldn't think of missing an episode. It keeps me up to date on what's going on in our corner of the world and shows the real people that make it work. Jeff and Marcus do an outstanding job making the world of WordPress interesting and funny. Don't miss it.
I love that kind of review. Marcus, I think you and I are good for a couple laughs almost every episode.
We try, and it's not really intentional. We're not trying to push it, but that's just kind of the rapport you and I have.
Yeah.
We have a joking relationship back and forth between us.
And he says that and shows the real people that make it work. And I think
developers.
That's my favorite part of the review because, at the end of the day, you know, we've mentioned this numerous times. WordPress is software. It's code. But software, but WordPress to this point is not sentient. It does not write itself. It's the people who write the code and that make WordPress work. And it's kind of cool how we have this outlet on WordPress Weekly where we can routinely bring in the people who make it work and we can find out what their interest is in making it work and what makes them tick and just kind of give people an insight into, the people that work on WordPress every day and software that millions of people use on their website. So it's one of the cool parts about this show, and I'm glad that people understand and can resonate with that.
Absolutely. And not only that, but you get to know the personalities behind your favorite plugins and themes and developers and the like, but you also get to notate what their struggles are. And, that half of these things that are popular now almost didn't even happen because of some mistake or something or something, you know, some circumstance that happened, and maybe just the right person came along at the right time or something like that. But it's a great testament to the community. We're just two guys on a podcast, and you know, we're lucky enough to be featured in the WordPress Planet feed and all of that. And, you know, that has some attraction to it, to a lot of the guests, and we're happy to have them on.
Now, a couple of times when I've spoken to listeners of the show, and this is cool feedback, they've said that they've always looked up to a certain individual, and they were always afraid to approach them or contact them to see what, maybe just to say hello. But after listening to them on our show and us just having kind of a casual conversation and sort of let them know that they're just down-to-earth people. They're not on some pedestal, or they're not going to take some time out to speak with you, say hello, and talk about whatever it is you have on your mind. And I know quite a few listeners who, thanks to listening to their favorite personality or someone they're interested in talking to on the show, they've actually reached out to them and were able to establish a line of contact with them and end up forming some pretty cool relationships. So that's also a side, really cool side benefit of doing these interviews on the show.
Yeah, bad attitudes in the WordPress community don't last long. Those people
and they're
don't
very
last.
Noticeable.
We are not tolerant of that kind of behavior. So you're always in good company, especially when you're here listening to WordPress Weekly.
So thanks again to the both of you for giving us those iTunes reviews. And if you have not done so yet and you listen to the show, please take some time out of your schedule and submit a review. Give us a star rating, 1 to 5. Let us know exactly what you think and how you feel about the show. And we'd love to read about it on the air, as we've done with the previous two reviews.
Are we anywhere else? Are we like in the Google Play Store? And
I have not checked Stitcher. The only other place that we're at right now is Stitcher, but I have. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've checked our status over on Stitcher. The last time I checked, we had 0 reviews over there. So, if anyone listens to us on Stitcher, maybe you could be the first to review us. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, and you can actually leave in episode comments if you're logged in to the computer version of Stitcher. And I always look, so I don't see any.
All right, so. I went to a little event this past weekend in Chicago, Illinois, and it was WordCamp, and I haven't visited the city of Chicago since 2009, so it was great to go back. It was Chicago welcomed me with open arms, as they did with the draft. I totally did not realize that on the same weekend as WordCamp Chicago, it was the NFL draft. So let me just tell you that traffic was crazy. It was insanely busy. There were people everywhere with their favorite NFL jerseys on because they were in town to see the draft. So that was pretty crazy. But the first thing I did when I got in Chicago that evening was visit Lou Malnati's.
Yes.
Because, you know, I just had that craving for deep dish pizza. And we went there, and I went there with about 6 other people or 5 other people. And we had dinner there, and I had the Lou, which is mm-hmm. that spinach tomato type pizza, and it was as good as I remember, if not better.
Yeah.
And then we had the Chicago Classic, which is Italian sausage, cheese, and some other things on the pizza. And most of the time when I have sausage on my pizza, the sausage is spicy and it drives me nuts. But the sausage at Lou Malnati's, it was perfect. And
yeah, it's mild.
It's mild and it's good. And each bite of a slice of pizza, it seems like it has the perfect proportion of Italian sausage. Mm-hmm. So I got to say, man, I hit the sweet spot. I hit the craving, satisfied it with Lou Malnati's, and man, I love that place.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. I miss it. I haven't had a slice of Lou's in 10 years, man.
So I know out of Chicago they deliver frozen pizza, but I just learned today visiting Lou's website that they have a location opening up in Phoenix, Arizona. So maybe if shipping and handling could get pretty expensive from Chicago, but maybe it'd be cheaper to get it from Phoenix if they deliver. That's something you might want to look into.
That's kind of a ways, man, but it's like 400 miles, so who knows. maybe if a craving happens, but I'm trying to turn over a new leaf right now with a diet. So no carbs, no
sugar. Yeah, that's the last thing you need.
Yeah, when you go for no carbs and no sugar for like 2 weeks, I already feel like I want to scratch the paint off the walls looking for a sugar cube in there somewhere. But.
Oh, man, yeah. And so that's what I did on the first night. And then the next night, I was lucky enough to attend a Cubs game at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Historic Wrigley Field with a couple of press peeps. And although it was a bit chilly, I had a great time. Now, I didn't get the Chicago hot dog with everything on it. I got a Vienna hot dog with grilled onions, but it still tastes pretty good.
Okay.
So I ended up getting one of those dogs, got a basket of chicken tenders, and then watched the game and had great seats for the game. Had a foul ball go over us, but ended up – there's a guy on the Cubs team named Caesar, something Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty tight, close-knit game, Cubs versus the Braves near the end of the game. And tied 1-1 in an eighth inning. The Cubs hit a grand slam.
Nice.
So that was awesome to be able to witness that. My first game at Wrigley, and I got to see a grand slam.
Yeah, so what'd you think of the place? Pretty nice, huh?
Yeah. It was great. It's you know, it kind of reminds you of the old vintage ballparks.
Mm-hmm. It's a museum, and it's changed a lot. I mean, they've got video screens in there now and all of that. I mean, they have to do it to cater to the audience, but it's great, and I have great memories as a kid of going to Wrigley. It's a good time.
Yeah, so we did that, and I realized we got on the train to head back and ended up going the wrong way. So we ended up going up the north shore of the lake instead of going south, so that was interesting. But Wrigley Field, it was a great time. And then the event itself, Ord Camp Chicago. So I got in there a little late on the first day because I was so exhausted from the previous day. And the event was great. I mean, it was jam-packed. All the rooms were separated, or sessions were separated into different rooms. So you had each room was a track. And the cool thing about that is, unlike what we discussed at Work Camp San Diego, with maybe just a curtain or something separating rooms, these are actually separated by bricks, plaster, what have you. They were classrooms. So that was nice. You didn't hear too much background noise interrupting the person's talk during the sessions. And another cool thing I noticed is that on the outside of each room, there's a schedule board, and the schedule board tells you which track is in that room and gives you the schedule for the people on that track. So it lets people discover whether they want to go in the room, stay in the room, or not in between sessions. So I thought that was a nice touch. The Wi-Fi was great. I didn't experience any issues. The network was fast throughout the entirety of the event. And the people there were very energetic. They were uplifting, I should say. And it was nice to kind of be around that kind of energy. It's been about, this is my first work camp in 6 months. So to be around people who were just thrilled to be working with WordPress and see it powering so many different businesses and sites and see people really engaged and wanting to learn more about it. It was just a cool atmosphere to be around the entire weekend.
Yeah, they've got a great community there and a lot of developers, a lot of PHP guys there in Chicago, I know. And, you know, just the design community in Chicago is amazing. So I can only imagine what WordCamp is like there. I moved away from Chicago in 2006, so there wasn't really a WordCamp going on there when I left. But man, I hope maybe next year. I'm going to put this on the calendar for next year to do that. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So you brought up something interesting about there really wasn't much going on there in 2006. Well, I discovered today that there's at least 4 meetup groups, and they each have hundreds of members spread throughout the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. WordPress specific meetup groups, and many of the members were in attendance there at WordCamp Chicago. So that tells me that A, the WordPress community in Chicago is thriving, and B, they're all really supportive of each other and local events like a WordCamp. And many of the people who participate in those meetups were volunteers for the event. So it was really an example of really the perfect recipe for how a successful WordCamp can go, where you start off with the meetup groups. Someone designates themselves as the leader, or maybe some other people vote on and see who's going to be the leader. Then you have the other people who are somewhat interested in, they volunteer. And once you get all that together, you start going through the planning phases, and that's where having the meetups can really come in handy. And then next thing you know, you have a WordCamp and you don't have to go out searching for volunteers or anything, because you've got this, these pool of people to choose from your meetup groups.
Yeah. You've got a good team system.
Yeah. It's a team, you know, who's good in the league in Chicago in terms of WordPress. So it all kind of comes together.
Yeah. So just overall, just a fantastic event in Chicago. And I did want to give a shout out to a couple of people. I actually met Dr. J. Mm. And Dr. J actually sent us an iTunes review a couple of weeks ago. So that was great to meet her. And I found out that she was there during the event, that she had some her dog was having some health issues. But by the end of the day, she got some good news that her dog was fine. So I'm glad to hear that. And hello, Dr. J. And then Jeffrey Schilling stopped by and said that he loves listening to our show.
Great.
And also a gentleman by the name of Raz. He also said he enjoys listening to our show and how enjoys your plug-in picks of the week. And now, Marcus, I did quiz each one of these three. I give them a pop quiz, and I said, I asked each and every one of them, what show are you talking about? You got to tell me the name of the show that I do. And they all said WordPress Weekly. They all passed.
Okay, good, good.
So,
thank you.
It was great actually getting to meet and talk to these people who listened to our show. And it's still, you know, Marcus, I was thinking about this the other day, where it still kind of puts me in shock when I go to a WordCamp and someone comes up to me and says, are you Jeff Chandler? And I go, yes. And they go, oh, I love your show. I love what you guys do on WordPress Weekly. It still kind of puts me into a shock that we, you know, that people are listening and people recognize us and people come up to us and say they love our show and love what we do. It's just, I never get bored of that.
No. And I'd rather have it in the context of WordPress than being, let's say, a DJ or something like that, being noticed by the general public when you're just out at the gas station.
Right.
It's nice to be noticed in context.
So it was great to talk to some of our fellow listeners out there in person. Thank you very much for listening to the show. Yes. And hopefully at the next WordCamp, I can meet some more folks that listen to the show. I love talking to you guys out there, guys and gals.
Me too.
So, other than that, you know, Chicago was a great time. It was a great trip. Met a lot of new faces, met some familiar faces. What I found out is, I guess the organizing team's going to take a few week break, which is to be expected, because there's a lot of time, energy, and work that goes into putting on a WordCamp. And then I guess they're going to get in, start the process of organizing WordCamp Chicago 2017. So it'll be great. If you didn't get a chance to go this year, definitely keep tabs on WordCamp Central, or we'll probably even let you know on the show, because it sounds like potentially me and Marcus can meet up in Chicago. And oh boy, I can only imagine the tour Marcus will take me on.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends that own a lot of nightclubs still in Chicago. But man, WordCamp, what else is coming up for WordCamp? What do we got going on here? We got Sunshine Coast. Where is that?
I believe that's in Australia.
Oh my gosh. Maine, St. Louis, Porto, which I don't know where that is, and Minneapolis is coming.
Oh, yeah, man, WordCamp Minneapolis. And if you're lucky or you can pull it off, there's sort of a prestige conference / WordCamp Minneapolis combo going on. So you can actually hit up two events, one hyper-focused on the business of things, on running your business, whether it's clients or development work, and the other one, which is more catered to just general WordPress stuff, which is WordCamp. And they're going on the same week / weekend. So that'd be pretty cool if anyone out there could do the combo meal of information.
There are so, man, I am on wordcamp.org right now. There are so many more WordCamps that I did not see before that are coming out. Oh my gosh. All over.
I think during WordCamp Chicago, there was four going on simultaneously around the world.
You got, coming up, you got Denmark, Calgary, Asheville, North Carolina, Antwerp, Belgium, Belgrade, Serbia, Ontario, Canada, Marbella, Spain, Kansas City, Winnipeg, Ottawa.
Where Camp Northeast Ohio is coming up.
Yeah, Kent. New York City is in July. Wow. Awesome, man. I'm so glad the community's growing like this.
And believe it or not, Oklahoma at the end of July is actually going to have their first break camp in the state of Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. So that's looking – it looks like it's going to be around July 30th. So there's still places and states here in the U.S. that haven't had a word camp.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. I'm looking forward to seeing those on WordCamp TV.
So speaking of WordCamps, I think we should dive into some of the news of the week. And if you're a WordCamp organizer, this will probably be music to your ears. But there's now a new tool that lets you create personalized WordCamp badges for attendees. Now, for those who don't know, the WordCamp organizers used to have to create a design using InDesign. There's different templates for InDesign software, and you had to use that to create the badges. And then there's also this tedious process of creating a CSV file of attendees. You had to run a custom script. It was just overall a difficult task. Well, thanks to George Stefanis and some other people, there's a new plugin or built-in concept in the back end of WordCamp Central, which only the WordCamp organizers have access to. And you can find it under Tickets, Tools, and the Generate Badges menu. And it actually uses the Customizer, which allows you to see the code of the badges on the left. And then on the right, you can see a live preview of what the badge will look like. And the badge design has the test content up at the top. You can see a little marker for where the hole punch would go for the lanyard. There's a Gravatar image, and then on the bottom is the names. And because of it's using CSS and code, organizers can use the customizer to edit colors, to edit fonts. It really is a much easier way, especially if you have a little bit of web developer chops, to customize the look and feel of your badges. And it also kind of opens up the opportunity to create different kinds of badges for your attendees. So, example, volunteers could have a different color badges than just normal attendees. So that might make them easier to find. And there's also a couple of different empty div elements, which you could repurpose or use for anything you want to provide custom display looks on your badges. So that's really cool. And once the design is finished, in the customizer, you could just export it as a PDF and take it to a print shop. So while the information about how to customize the badge is not – oh, wait, it is. It is available in the WordCamp Organizer Handbook. So in case you're looking for information on how to use it, there you go. That would be the place to do it. And then there you go, Marcus. This is a pretty cool example of a real cool use case of the customizer.
Well, that's fine, but I want this plugin.
Well, what do you want it for? In case you want to do badges for a different conference?
Oh, gee. I mean, I only do membership sites for a living that have events and live events and have to do this in the same fashion with CSV files and InDesign and all that. If I could actually take it straight out of WooCommerce or as, you know, registered users or, you know, specific membership levels within the site and be able to print those badges or have a PDF. Yeah, I want that.
Well, we'll have to see. You know, maybe I'll ping George and see if this plugin will be made available. Well, in fact, where it is, it's on GitHub. So I can link to it. It's called WC Badge Generator.
Okay.
Now, there may be some stuff. But there's a plugin there. Maybe you could take a look at it for us at some point. Maybe give us a report on it next week. It could be your plugin picks of the week.
If it's good, yeah. If it's good, yeah, you're going to have to link me up to where this is. I'm going to have to check this out.
So there you go. Just a pretty cool convenience tool for WordCamp organizers for creating cool badges. And so WordPress has been translated into Marathi. I hope I pronounced that right. 100%. And Marathi is actually an Indian language. And according to this post published by Sarah Gooding on WB Tavern, there's an estimated 73 million native speakers of this language. So that's a lot of people speaking this language. And that's actually one of the official languages of Western India and is the 19th most spoken language in the world.
I thought it was a Game of Thrones thing when I first saw it.
Yeah, it kind of has a Game of Thrones ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like maybe that's the name of a king or something.
Something like that. Yeah, the wicked Marathi.
So what's cool about this is that about a week or so ago, this language was only translated to about 10% in WordPress, which is like little to nothing. But thanks to the efforts and teams and collaboration of the Global WordPress Translation Day event, they were able to bring that up to 100%. Hmm. And not only that, but Hindi is also now at 100%. And there's also a couple of other Indian languages that are making steady progress towards 100%, thanks in part to the new teams and the collaboration efforts of the Global Translation Day. So one of the coolest things about this story to me is that it went from 10% to 100%, and that is a direct result of the Global WordPress Translation Day. And this is exactly why this day exists, why the effort was put forth to raise awareness and to get these teams involved. And hopefully we see events just like this, more of them. Maybe it doesn't have to be a one-time thing during the year, but maybe once a month or something where I can get people to gather in their native language, get together and contribute to their version of WordPress, and we can get more languages up there at 100%.
Yeah, I wonder who's missing? Who's missing out of the pool?
The pool of what, Indian languages?
Just languages. Like, is it Chinese, do you think? Mandarin? What's like that? What's pub? You know, at the 10% bubble right now, and like these did.
Well, I see just wipe out. Maori is at 0%. Malaya. Yeah, I can't even say the language. Oh, this is terrible. I hope they don't get offended. But that's at 18%. Mongolian's at 56%, and Montenegrin is at 60%. So there's quite a few languages out there that range between 0% and 100%. But a lot of them, the in-between languages, maybe not so widely known or, you know, probably anyway. Sometimes there's only one person who knows the language that's working on a translation of WordPress for that specific language. And that's got to be, it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, all of you out there that helped with the Marathi project, I want to say Dhanyavada, which means thank you.
Wow. I didn't even know that. Look at you.
Yeah. Thank you, Google Translate.
Wow. That was impressive.
About
it. So listen up. If you are a current or former customer of Templatic, or Templatic is probably how it's pronounced, well, the website has been hacked, and the files and databases for Templatic have been compromised via a hacker. Now, according to R.B. Havish, the founder of the commercial theme website, the hacker has been threatening them via email and is holding the data for ransom. So they're demanding ransom money, but the R.B. Havish says that they're not going to give in to the threats. And the good news is that they did not store any credit card information for customers, as it's handled directly by PayPal or to checkout. So that's great news. But if you have shared, if you've ever shared like cPanel, FTP, or WP admin login credentials with Templatic via for support, you should immediately change your passwords to all of those accounts. And if you're using a product that relies on the Tevolution plugin, which I guess is a plugin they has something to do with Templatic and their themes, and you haven't updated it yet, you should do so immediately. Furthermore, if you're a customer of Templatic, you should ignore further emails from the Templatic site for the time being, because it looks like the hacker may try to do some phishing attempts to customers. Obviously, they have the customer's email addresses now, so they'll be able to do that. So if you need to know any further information about what's going on with this hack and what's being done to protect your website and customer data, You should take a look at the customer or company's social media accounts, either Twitter, Facebook, or their official blog. Also, you know, I highly recommend that if you should probably use a free site scanning tool. I know Security has one. There's probably a couple others out there to look for unknown files, because who knows what could be going on here shortly after this hack. And Bihavish apologizes for what happened. He accepted full responsibility. He says that the hacks are being investigated by proper authorities. But kudos to him for at least coming out there, accepting responsibility, informing his customers everything that's happened, and just being, you know, upfront about it and kind of giving people a heads up as to what steps he's taking to try and prevent this from happening again. But the key here is, no, your credit card information, your purchase information has not been compromised, as it's taken care of by a third party. However, if you've dealt business with them, you probably want to change your email accounts or passwords on all of your sort of cPanel control panel type websites, just for as a precaution. And especially if you use the same password on more than one different site, which really you should never do.
No. Yeah, well, this company's doomed. I can see that right now.
I don't think they're doomed. I mean, I think they'd be doomed if credit card data was
that's true. But still, come on.
What happened to iThemes? They're not doomed, and they got caught storing customer passwords in plain text.
Yeah,
they're still around. So I think you know, and this company has been around for 8+ years now. So I don't think it's dead. I think it's a hit. I think it's just something. It's a blip, depending on how they handle this. And hopefully, the key is don't get hacked again, especially within a soon amount of time within this hack, or else then that's when things start to look really bad.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that.
Then you can really start questioning your trust in the company and really considering whether you want to do business with them or not, regardless if they're storing your credit card information.
Exactly.
So let's talk about something that's a little bit controversial, but something that's not too surprising to me. And that is that the WordPress theme review team has been having some pretty interesting discussions as of late. And they recently held a vote on new guidelines to ban obtrusive upselling. So this is something we've talked about on the show, not so much in themes, but more like plugins. But I know it happens in themes too. But one of the main things on the agenda for the theme review team is talking about what types of upselling is allowed in themes hosted on WordPress.org. And, you know, I can only imagine that I haven't installed themes from WordPress.org in a very long time, but I should install some of the most popular ones just to see what happens. But I have seen at times upselling to a commercial version, either on their website or sometimes like on ThemeForest or something. Mm-hmm. But the team voted on a set of guidelines, and they all voted in favor of these. No team members voted against them. And in order, here they are. No global nags at the top of admin pages.
Yay.
One top-level link in the customizer where other unobtrusive links and sections would be allowed. Allow one appearance subpage, and then no options or panel/sections behind a paywall, which that would be the big thing for me where mm-hmm. You know, you install a free theme from the directory. You say, hey, oh, cool, let me do this. Nope, you need to go pay. You're not going to. That's one of the things they're not going to allow to happen, or at least it would probably fall under that guideline. So while the team has sort of agreed upon these, they voted upon these, they have not yet gone into effect. In fact, they're still sort of in the phases of possibly adding them. However, the votes and the things they voted on does kind of give you a direction into where things are heading. And there has also been some talk about possibly adding a tag to designate themes with a commercial upgrade. So apparently the plugin directory is kind of in flux right now. It's going through some redesign elements. And Matt Mulloway actually proposed an agenda item recently for the redesign of the plugin directory, where some sort of new designation can be added for freemium WordPress.org extensions that have commercial counterparts. So we're talking about plugins that would be freemium, but maybe they would have some kind of special tag that says they're freemium or that they have a commercial version available. And Matt says that he would love for the community to figure out a tagging system that would help people know better what's behind the installation of a plugin. So, for example, does it connect to an external service? Is there a premium version? Is it useful without those things? And Matt Mulloway says that if we can figure out a way to classify those three as examples, it'll cover a lot of the business models people are attempting in the directory. So possibly a special tagging system for these type of plugins. And all of this is kind of interesting to me and sort of makes me think we're coming to a head here, a point where the freemium model, people are getting sick of it. I think a lot of people would rather just someone, either you pay for it outright and take care of it, or they just want all of it to be free. They don't want this in between of a freemium where they nickel and dime you and ping you to death and say, hey, maybe you want to pay for this and maybe you want to pay for that. And that seems to be prevalent, especially among plugins in the WordPress.org directory. And just some interesting feedback and attempts at maybe trying to sort of sift through what's actually free, you know, totally free, and what's freemium. Just sort of at a crossroads here a little bit.
Well, I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Because look at apps that are out there. You go through the iTunes store, and you see things that are free, but they have in-app purchases.
Oh, yeah.
That's freemium.
It's and then their you have, fault.
Then you have your regular paid versions that you just pay outright for. So, and even those may have additional purchases that you might want to do. So if you, for instance, if you have I have a navigation program for, you know, being on the ocean with a boat, and I got the Pacific Southwest version. If I were going to go up to Washington or something like that, or, you know, Canada, I'd need to download that one as well. So things are modular. And you don't have to have everything, just like what we've seen with the model of a lot of different plugins where the plugin itself is free, but all the add-ons are extra. I don't mind it, but you have to be upfront and communicate exactly when those different upsells occur. And I think if they just found some level of transparency within what's being charged and how, then that would be great, even if it was just a little... maybe an info thing. What is being charged amongst this? Like,
I think the efforts that we just described here are in that light to try and make it help developers be more transparent about what it is they're offering, and allow users and / potential customers to see what it is before they get nagged to death.
Well, I got that. The nagging shouldn't occur. I mean, we should have the option if we want to do that or not. But I don't know.
Let me read you some feedback.
Okay.
I thought this was interesting feedback, and it's by a commenter on the WP Tavern article. Her name is Omi, and I'll read, quote, I'm really annoyed that it's super hard to find totally free plugins and themes in the wash of freemium things. And it seems as if nothing is totally free anymore, or nothing decent at least. That's cool, but it really puts off new users, especially young people just getting started who don't have any money. I feel like WordPress is going to see its population age and die off because it's becoming too commercial, end quote. What do you think of that feedback?
I think you better start listening to this show a little bit more and find out the plugin picks of the week, because
you're finding all the good ones. All the free
I get
ones.
Them all out of the repository. So sorry, but that commenter is full of crap.
Well, I don't know. They also go on to say that I think themes and plugins should use, and this is sort of her take on this, free, which is totally free, no paid upgrades, light, it's good, but there's one pro version upgrade of the whole thing available, or extendable, meaning it is what it is, but you can purchase extensions for it. Or, you know, she's kind of coming up with different tags that could sort of make it easier to sift through all the plugins in the directory, you know, to figure out whether something is freemium or totally free. I don't know. Something's got to be done here, I think.
Doesn't it seem like years ago that was the model, that somebody would put light in the repository as the plugin name? And then maybe we've just shied away from that as a practice.
Yeah, maybe. And I wonder if, well, I hope we didn't shy away from it because it gave everyone the idea that it was just some dumbed down, lackluster, all the functionality ripped out type of plugin. I hope it wasn't that. I don't know.
Yeah. Even I'd like to see that in the repository in terms of if upgrades are available, because even as I'm searching or going through the new plugins, I'd like to see a little icon that says that.
The fact of the matter is WordPress is powered on 25% of the web, and plugin authors, theme authors, and so many other people want a piece of that pie, that economic pie that's created by 25% of the web using WordPress. And upselling is it's one of the techniques that's used. And, you know, we've talked about this before, where what are the limits people have, or what are the expectations users have of upselling? And, you know, for me, I don't want to see a global WordPress admin nag, because that's totally out of line. I think all advertising that's related to the plugin or an upsell should be displayed on the plugin settings or options pages. To me, that's where it makes the most sense and it's relevant. If you step outside of that boundary, I think you've crossed the line. And I don't think it makes for a very good user experience either.
I'd love to see the statistics on Yoast in terms of how much revenue he does.
Because of all those nags, even though people hate it?
Yeah, I want to see sources. Yeah, I want to see the nag is the referral source, and I want to see exactly how much money he makes.
I wonder if he'd be willing to share that information. I bet he wouldn't. But I don't know. I could ask him.
Okay. Don't give me – I don't want the money. Forget the money part. Tell me what the
– Well, maybe a percentage. A percentage would work. The percentage of I don't know, referral, or percentage of
give me how many rates or give something. I'd just like to know that, just for the sake of argument in terms of thinking about in terms of the developer's perspective.
You know, and this is just a hypothetical, but I would not be surprised, and I would grit my teeth if it turned out that it was a similar situation to where I hate pop-ups. I hate little things that pop up and want me to opt into stuff. Why do people use them? Because they work. Mm-hmm. Well, what if it's the same thing with all the admin notices, where so many people hate being nagged every time about after they turn on the plugin or they update it, but yet in reality, what if it's because they work?
True.
Oh, man, it would drive me nuts. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's something that we got to dig into. I'd love to see the statistics of that just from a marketing perspective. I don't know if Yoast in particular, but somebody, if you're a plugin developer and you do that, please share with me anonymously. Well, not anonymously, but I'll keep it anonymous in terms of what your click-through rate is on something like that, if you even monitor it, or at least what your inbound versus your conversion rate would be. I'd love to see that.
So one last thing here before we move on to the next topic, because I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Marcus. But what if the plugin and theme directories change the search algorithms around, or at least how things are displayed, and they change it so that themes and plugins that have no upsell actions to users are showcased? They rank higher in searches compared to all the other plugins and themes. What do you think about that?
No, just let me filter it.
So you don't want them to sort of do that. You'd rather let the market things do whatever, and then just allow the user to filter it.
Who's going to do that selection?
No, well, it'd be like an algorithm, not manual human selection, but they would change the algorithms and allow, if they could find a way to determine, you know, whether a theme or plugin upsells at all or doesn't, then they would just rank those higher. Now, how you would do that, I have no clue.
Why would you have to rank them? Just, I mean, if I can intelligently filter my search to show me all the free plugins and then sort them by the most installations or the newest or the most recently updated. Well, show me that or I most relevant in terms of my other search in terms of the keyword. What's wrong with that?
I'm not sure, but I know one thing is that upselling will never be banned in the WordPress or plugin directory because plugins like Jetpack, Akismet, VaultPress, I don't know, you name them off the list of plugins that Automattic has, does it. And as long as they do it, everyone else can do it too.
Yeah, well, we live in the nation of would you like fries with that? So we are the nation of upsellers.
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, I guess we could talk about this last story because it's actually pretty big. We've joked in the past about maybe there's going to be a sort of Jetpack-like thing for WooCommerce, and it turns out it's not a joke. It's actually kind of a reality. But Automattic introduced something called WooCommerce Connect, or otherwise known as Hosted Components for e-commerce. And Connect is a hosted software-as-a-service architecture, so that's where the whole Jetpack similarity comes into play. And it was created to offer store features in a more friendly way. So the first version actually provides a connection to USPS. It provides real-time USPS shipping rates for US-based stores. It eliminates the need for a USPS API key as well as a subscription key for WooCommerce. So there's a couple of good pluses there immediately. Now, it's built on the REST API. It's sort of got a Calypso-style interface, and I have not tried it out yet, but there you go. And I believe there's going to be different components, a.k.a. think of them as modules that will be coming out for WooCommerce Connect in the future. But there you go, Marcus. Looks like full steam ahead here on the simplification of WooCommerce and e-commerce in general.
This is the missing link. Really, it is, because the next thing probably coming out will be some sort of UPS integration where it would maybe automatically send tracking information and print you a label, just like you know, we talked about the printing of the WordCamp badges. So it could be similar to that. Who knows where it's going to go in terms of the other modular capacities? Will WooCommerce someday become their own merchant processor as well? That's something to think about. Something like Shopify or what one of those guys do. And if they could do that and they could start to make maybe some very simplistic kind of themes and find a way to use the REST API when that comes out to ingest real-time inventories and hook it into fulfillment systems and things like that, then you've got yourself a better mousetrap in terms of e-commerce. So I applaud the effort, and I have not checked it out myself. I definitely will, but the story definitely intrigued me. I wanted to make sure that it made the light of the show here this week, and I really look forward to it. I'm going to really be paying attention to this, and everybody out there should, especially if you do design work or development for clients and e-commerce clients especially. Pay attention to what's going on with WooCommerce. It's no joke or no mistake that Automattic acquired them. There's a reason behind that, and you need to pay attention to it.
And for those developers out there who have developed or make a living off of extensions for WooCommerce who might be thinking, oh no, they're going 100% software as a service and it's going to destroy the ecosystem. Well, don't worry about that. The WooCommerce plugin is going to be sticking around. It's not moving to 100% software as a service model. And by the way, WooCommerce is not being rolled in the Jetpack. That would be crazy, in my opinion. But that's something a lot of people suspected when the acquisition did occur. So thankfully, that's not going to happen. However, WooCommerce Connect does require users to connect to WordPress.com via Jetpack. So how about that? In order to use WooCommerce Connect, you have to also be using Jetpack. So there's another interesting tie-in there.
Yeah, that rules me out of the equation. Damn.
So the reason they're doing that is because they wanted to leverage the code and infrastructure that's already been created and built through Jetpack. And, you know, and that makes sense. They're not reinventing any wheels and are taking advantage of all the roads that have already been paved via Jetpack. So I can see that. But,
yeah, I understand.
Man, I just, WooCommerce Connect requiring Jetpack, that is that's quite the relationship there. That's interesting. It's just something for people to ponder.
Yeah. Yep. Well, like I said, everybody's got to pay attention.
So that's the big news. That was probably the biggest story that came out today and this week. And outside of that, that's pretty much what's going on in the world of WordPress. And Marcus, unless you have anything you want us to know about, let's get on with your plugin picks of the week.
All right, Jeff. Well, the first one out of the gate is called RSS Feed Canceller. And this is a very interesting plugin because what it does is doesn't kill your whole RSS feed. It's not one of those kinds of plugins. What it actually does is it puts a little box in your WordPress post editor on the sidebar, and it just has a checkbox to exclude that particular post from the feed, from any RSS feed. So that prevents it from going out into any of the category feeds, tag feeds, or the main RSS feed, all with just one click. And it's nice that you get individual post control. So it's called RSS Feed Canceller. The next one is TLD WooCommerce Downloadable Product Update Emails. Hello. Nice long title there for a WooCommerce plugin, but here's what it does. It's really simple. It's used to send out emails to customers who have bought a downloadable product and letting them know that there is an update to their download. So if you have an ebook and you revise it frequently and there's other editions and things, they don't have to keep coming back and checking to see if you've updated it. If you have a digital product and then you go and update it, it actually will then go email everybody who's purchased that product and let them know that the new update is available. So it's called TLD WooCommerce Downloadable Product Update Emails.
Yeah, say that 10 times fast. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Last plugin, something very intriguing that I've been playing around with. This one is called Inline Click to Tweet. And what this does is it puts a little Twitter bird on your little dashboard in your post edit screen in sort of your WYSIWYG editor. And it, what you do is you highlight some text, and then within the visual editor, you click on that little bird and you do a couple of different options. And that section of the actual post is then wrapped in two short codes. And if someone clicks on that, then it actually tweets out that phrase and puts in whatever hashtags you'd like to put in with it, as well as at, you know, sending you, copying you or your brand or whatever in the actual tweet. So it's pretty cool. If you've got a really nice takeaway or a summary or some kind of a cool quote, this is the way to get that message out there in terms of spreading it to Twitter. It is called Inline Click to Tweet. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
Yeah, that's an interesting plugin. I've seen some people either use it or a variation of it, like Chris Lemma has been using a plugin like this for a while.
Yes.
And you figure a lot of times when people are sharing content via Twitter, maybe it's a sentence or two, maybe it's a quote, and it's a link to the article. Well, this kind of gives you the flexibility of choosing what you'd like people to share. Right. So if you really hammer a point home in your content, you can actually add a button, lets people tweet it out, and maybe, who knows, maybe it increases the amount of people who share your content. Kind of does all that work for them instead of having an actual copy and quote and paste in the tweet itself.
Yeah, it's great, and it lets you control your content, and you frame up what the conversation is about your content.
So right.
It's a great plugin.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffFR0. Marcus?
Can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, and also sign up to the pre-launch at membershipcoach.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Marcus Couch.
Okie dokie. So we'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening. Same time, same channel.
I will be coming to you from New Orleans.
Oh, really?
New Orleans. Yeah, in a hotel.
Oh, that's news to me. New Orleans. Wow. I hope you're not, hope you don't overdose on shrimp gumbo.
Nope. Definitely not.
Oh, man. All right. So we'll have Marcus calling in for the Bayou.
Creole edition.
Yeah, Creole edition next Wednesday. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening.